WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning, $10,000 Thursday. We're just a little over an hour away from your first $10,000 cash code of the day with Money Talks, brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. So for the rest of the contest, every day you have a chance to win $1,000, but on Thursdays it is a chance to win $10,000. So keep listening for those codes coming your way starting in the 8 o'clock hour and every hour after that. By the way, I heard Brian mention it the other night, so I just wanted to let you know that I've been talking about the new schedule that's going to debut on Saturdays starting May 3rd. We're going to have the Paul Santo Show from 7 to 9. And this is not the TV version of the Paul Santo Show, so if you're already watching that on online or if you're watching that on Channel 6, it's not that. It's actually going to be Paul in here. Live, taking your calls, just as he was doing when he's filling in for Ken. So it's going to be the Paul. We should have called it the Paul Santos Radio Show to just differentiate the two, but I wasn't thinking. So that'll be 7 to 9. Then, of course, we have the Ken Pittman Show from 9 to noon. Money Matters with Jose Matos at noon. And then from 1 to 4, you'll have, well, I've been saying Brian's Beat, that Brian's Beat was moving from the morning to the afternoon. Something Brian had been requesting for a while now, and we're finally able to make it happen. But that's not really going to be what happens. So at Brian's request, we're going to kind of shift around his shows a little bit. So Saturdays from 1 to 4 will be Freedom Fools, and then weeknights at 6 o'clock will go from being Freedom Fools to being Brian's Beat. What does it really matter? Not much. But it will matter if, you know, if you're listening on podcasts after the fact and like, how come I'm only getting one Freedom Fools? Where's the rest of them? Or why am I getting so many Brian's Beat? What's going on? So that's what we're doing. We're just going to kind of flip the shows, which also, you know, flips a little bit of the premise of how Brian handles it. So as he realizes, you know, there's a lot that goes on during the day, during the week for him to talk about and discuss and cover a wide variety of things. And it's not always under the guise of, you know, what he wanted to do with Freedom Fools, which is advocate for the taxpayer. So he's going to utilize the Saturday time to be able to do that and then have more of, you know, his analysis of things going on in the world and interviews and things like that on The Daily Show. So we're just going to kind of flip that around. But it'll be the same Brian Thomas on both programs at all those time slots. So really, you know, he's always willing to talk about a variety of things with you. But you just need to know that so you're aware when the podcast changes happen and we'll change things on the website a little bit. But very excited. Very excited to bring Paul into the mix on a weekly basis and to be able to have a powerhouse Saturday lineup for you. And then one other thing, tomorrow is Fun Friday here on the show. And I'm going to have a Fun Friday question for you that is food related. Because we actually have a new sponsor joining us for Fun Friday. They like what we're doing and they wanted to sponsor it and they wanted to utilize the time to get their message out. So tomorrow I will let you know all about our new sponsor for Fun Friday, and we'll have a question related to that. But be thinking food. Be thinking food. Be thinking condiments. And that might kind of lead you in the direction. Celtics up 2-0 now on the Orlando Magic, able to dispatch the Magic in game two despite not having Jason Tatum with a bone bruise on his right wrist. We'll see how long that keeps him out for, but pretty sure that they could probably rest him this entire series if they wanted to and still be able to beat the Magic. I was watching the Celtics City documentary on Max last night. I didn't get home till late. I didn't leave here till 8:30 last night. And when I got home, I had a Greek salad for dinner, and I wanted to, you know, watch something while I was eating that. So I was like, well, I have to finish catching up with Celtic City. So I finished the episode on the down years, you know, the Rick Pitino days and ML Carr and all of that, not getting Tim Duncan in the draft. And then Pitino and his lack of patience kind of, and Pitino, who never really could admit fault, always pass the blame to everybody else. He did say in the documentary, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been the president. Maybe I should have just been the coach. Maybe doing two jobs was too much. Yeah, you think? Because you had no idea how to be a general manager, how to be a president of operations. You basically did things on a whim, and you were constantly looking to change. You were in over your head. You didn't know the pro game well enough. And the bullying that you did to your staff, forcing Chris Wallace to lose weight, telling him he had to weigh a certain weight by the time he came back for training camp. Chris Wallace wasn't a player. Chris Wallace was the general manager of the team. He was an executive. But Pitino's approach was, you know, you've got to set an example. You've got to lead by example. I don't think that the NBA quality athletes were really that concerned about the physical appearance of their general manager. It wasn't like he was a coach running up and down the sidelines with them or running drills with them. Worked in the front office. He sat up in the balcony overlooking the practice court. But anyway, you can watch that episode. But then they had the episode afterwards on the Ubuntu Celtics, the Doc Rivers-led team that won the championship with the new Big Three in 2008. And I was there. I was covering the team during that time, and I was there for every home game through that playoff run. And I got emotional watching it, just remembering, like, just not only the games and the Celtics, but that time in my life. You know, my son was young. He was only like 4 years old at the time. I was working my ass off trying to get a full-time job in sports media. That didn't work. But then I remember, like, getting to write that column the night that they won. And because they just blew out the Lakers in that deciding game, I got to really spend time writing it. And I'd already kind of pre-written it a little bit, because that's what you do when you're writing on deadline. Like, you'll pre-write things if... And I can't tell you how many times I would do that, where I'd write a gamer or even a column and then have to blow the whole thing up because something happened at the end of the game or whatever. But so having it, you know, well in hand meant I could just let loose. And it's one of the proudest things I ever wrote. One of the things I'm proudest of anything I ever wrote. And my dad at the time was working in circulation for the Standard Times in delivery. And he was able to get me the plates that they used to print that A1 paper the day the Celtics won with my column right on the front page. And he got me the plate. So I still have that. And I actually just found that in my closet the other day when I was doing a little cleaning. It's like, I forgot about this, man. But that's the only way you can read the column, because the Standard Times has terrible online archives. And they're missing number of years of their online archives, including a bulk of my work. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of effort to get them back online. So hopefully with the continued advances in AI, we can somehow find those again. Not everything I wrote was good, but that one was pretty good, I have to say. A lot of my dine-outs of that era are gone. Anyway, that's nobody cares about that but me. But watch Celtic City. It is it's very emotional. And I have said this before, but I always want to make sure that I'm upfront about this. I was not a Kevin Garnett fan before the Celtics got him. I always thought the way he played was obnoxious because I didn't get it. And then when he did that interview with John Thompson where he just started crying because he was on a losing team, I'm like, what a baby. You're getting paid better than most people in the league. You chose to stay there. Like, what are you crying about? Like, because I didn't get it. I didn't understand the intensity and the competitiveness that was in this guy until I got a chance to cover him. And I remember I was talking to Sean Grandy, the Celtics play-by-play announcer, about him. Because when they got him, I think I called Grandy and said, because Grandy covered him in Minnesota. He was the play-by-play guy in Minnesota before he came to Boston. And I said, I just need a couple of quotes about Garnett for this article I'm writing. And he was like, you are going to love this guy. He's like, I know that you're a Celtics fan, even though you got to play it down the middle as a writer. He goes, but I know you're a fan. He goes, you are going to love this guy. This guy is a Celtic before he was a Celtic. And he wasn't kidding. And now every single time in this documentary, when I see Bill Russell on the screen, I either get a little choked up or I get a big smile on my face, because out of all the things I've done in sports media, getting the chance to be around Bill Russell is got to be number one on the list. Even the brief conversations that I had with him, one time I made him laugh, and that cackling laugh that he had, and that's like the greatest feeling in the world, to make Bill Russell laugh and hear that. And so I get emotional anyway when he's on the screen, one way or the other. But that scene where he's sitting down and he's interviewing Garnett, I think it was prior to the start of that season, and he said, you know, you're going to win two or three championships here. And they could have if not for injury. But he said, you're going to win two or three championships here. And if you don't win, as long as you play the right way and the way that I know you can play, I'm going to share with you one of mine. And you could see like Garnett was moved by that. And that wasn't just performative by Russ. That wasn't just him saying, you know, this will make a great soundbite in this interview. He authentically meant that. He had a genuine love for KG. And then that moment when they won and KG's hugging Russ and he's like, I got my own. Like that's he's referencing that moment. He's calling back to that moment and saying, you know, I appreciate the offer you made, but I was able to get my own. And I think when that moment happened, I was not that far away from them on the court. I couldn't hear it, but I just saw the hug. And when I saw the hug, I was like, all right, I'm going to lose it. And so I just left the floor and went into the locker room at that point, after I scooped up a handful of confetti first. So I still have a handful of confetti and I have one of the champagne corks from the locker room. And then somewhere I have the shirt that Big Baby Davis dumped a red Gatorade down the back of. It probably smells now, but I put it in like a shopping bag. And I was like, I'm going to hold on to this. It's somewhere. But anyway, Celtic City is pretty well done. I've been reading some online reviews of it. Some people have criticized it and says it's too much of a fanboy view of the Celtics. I don't care. I wanted a fanboy docuseries on the Celtics. And I don't really agree with that, but I guess if you're a Celtics hater, you're going to come away feeling that way either way. But if you're a Celtics fan, it's well worth the watch. Whether you know the history or not, there's new stuff and new stories that come out. including a lot of people don't know this story, or it doesn't get talked about enough, but the role that Antoine Walker played in helping bring Kevin Garnett to Boston. He was at a wedding with Kevin Garnett, and he talked to KG about Boston, and Garnett seemed to warm up to the idea, and Antoine called Paul Pierce and said, I think you guys might have a chance at getting KG. And so Paul Pierce called Danny Ainge and said, Antoine said KG might be willing to come here. And that's what really kicked things off. You know, they'd already kind of tried to get him before, but he wasn't interested. But then, of course, they got Ray Allen. Things changed. We all know how it worked out. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I could talk about the Celtics, especially that era, all day. Oh, that game 7 against the Cavs, Pierce and LeBron just going after each other. It's the closest I've ever seen to an NBA game turning into one-on-one basketball. Just the two of them going after each other and trying to outdo the other, and the Celtics coming away victorious. And then, of course, the wheelchair game in the finals against the Lakers. And I'll always remember, you know, after years at that point, I'd been covering the team for about 7 years, 6, 7 years. And I always appreciated the pregame meal when you would walk into the dining room and, you know, the media would get a meal. Now they charge you a couple of bucks that goes to the Celtics Charitable Fund. But back then you just went in, you got your food and sat down and ate. And, you know, you get to sit down with important people. I mean, I got to eat with Tommy and Helen Heinsohn many times. Other Celtics greats. One time I had dinner with Michael Bivins from Belle Biv DeVoe, you know, just sitting at the same table and chatting. Like, you know, you never knew who was going to be in there. It was cool. And they always had pretty decent food. My favorite was when they had shark. And I told the lady, Blanche, that I was a big fan of shark. And she's like, well, come back and see me at the end of the night. And she gave me all the leftover shark. But for the finals, it was completely different. You didn't go in the dining room. They had it all set up kind of in a, they made a whole dining area in the hallway. And it was like an unbelievable buffet of food. Like carved prime rib. And one of the games they had lobsters and you could just take as many lobsters as you wanted. It was insane. Steam clams, all kinds of stuff. And all these people from LA are like, oh, I can't believe it. This is great. And we're just like, yeah, we eat like this all the time here. Anyway, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Fun fact about me, or maybe not so fun. I'm not a big fan of reggae music. I can't stand reggae. I don't know why. I don't like it. It's not, I know that it's good. I'm not into it. I can't, it's not like I hate it, but I'm not a big fan of it. And someone said to me one time, you don't listen to any reggae? And I was like, no. And I said, but I thought you were a big fan of the Police. I said, I am. Well, you know, the Police are basically just playing reggae, right? Son of a... They're not wrong. Especially the early stuff. So, anyway. We're going to take more of your calls coming up. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, let's get the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
The latest on the New Jersey wildfires, more lawsuits against the president, and an update for the famous Shining Hotel.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
12 states, including New York, suing the Trump administration over the president's steep, wide-ranging tariffs.
New York Attorney General Letitia James has released a statement saying the president does not have the power to raise taxes on a whim. But that's exactly what President Trump has been doing with these tariffs. Connecticut, Arizona, Illinois, Colorado, Minnesota, and Delaware have all joined the suit, along with Maine, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Nevada. Arizona AG Chris Mays referred to Trump's tariffs as insane. The states are seeking a court order declaring the tariffs illegal. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
The Ocean County wildfire in New Jersey that's consumed 12,000 acres could become New Jersey's largest in nearly two decades. It's being fed by pine needles and dry leaves, but progress is being made, and Forest Service Fire Chief Bill Donnelly says it's now about 40% contained.
You know, everybody's used to seeing California and things like that, that chaparral that burns up them hills. And these pine barrens out here are the exact same type of fuel model. They are just like having napalm spread across the ground.
Hundreds of firefighters are battling the blaze, which was first spotted Tuesday. It's since spread. One business was destroyed, but no homes so far. Donnelly expects full containment at about 15,000 acres, hopefully by tomorrow night or Saturday morning. President Trump is supporting the idea of providing moms bonuses after having a child. The president's comments came after the media asked about reports of the administration considering the concept. Trump said it sounds like a good idea. The White House is looking to bring up the nation's birth rates with the bonus as one of the proposals. Some remote workers at Google are being told to return to the office or they could lose their jobs. CNBC reports the company is telling some staffers they need to show up at the office 3 days a week. Some of the employees had been previously remote 100%. A Google spokesperson says in-person collaboration is an important part about how the company innovates and solves complex problems.
A little slow tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Torrance.
The hotel that inspired the horror classic, The Shining, is making major upgrades. The new owners of the Stanley Hotel in Colorado are tapping into municipal bonds to use nearly $300 million to add more rooms, an event center, and a horror museum curated by Blumhouse. That's the production studio behind movies like Halloween and Paranormal Activity. The goal is to take advantage of the Sundance Film Festival that's relocating to nearby Boulder in 2027. The Drug Enforcement Agency would like you to get rid of your leftover drugs. Saturday is National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, where the DEA sponsors sites across the country for disposal of unused prescription drugs. The goal is to keep them from being flushed and contaminating the water supply or ending up in the wrong hands. Collection sites open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and include most police stations. The first trailer has been released for I Know What You Did Last Summer. The film is the fourth in the slasher franchise. It follows a group of friends being stalked by a killer. The cast includes Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr., Madeline Klein, and Tariq Withers. I Know What You Did Last Summer hits theaters on July 18th.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Mariners over the Red Sox last night, 8-5. Those two will wrap things up this afternoon at 1:35. Celtics pulling ahead 2-0 over the Orlando Magic, 109-100. Game 3 heads to Orlando tomorrow night at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're largely dry. We see plenty of sunshine. Temperatures not too bad in the afternoon either, with most of us in the low and mid 60s. I do want to mention we have the potential for a small area of low pressure to track our way that could throw a couple clouds into the mix. Even a stray shower, not out of the question. Nothing too wild here, just something to keep in mind. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Father, Father,
That's my favorite Bon Jovi song, and a lot of people are like, I don't know that I know that one. What, are you kidding? That was great. That was when they kind of made their comeback. Bon Jovi's made a lot of comebacks, but that was when, you know, they were in the time of grunge. They were seen as, you know, a washed up hair metal band, even though they never really were metal. They're more hard rock, but you know, they were seen as this washed up hair band, and you know, they weren't going to make it into the 90s. And then they came out with that whole album was fantastic. And that's one thing they've been great at, is reinventing themselves. Now they're doing this special private concert where you got to pay an arm and a leg to get into, because John Bon Jovi's voice can't hold up for a tour. So now they're doing these like specialized gigs. Not that they need the money, but they know that fans still want to see them perform. So I have a lot of respect for Bon Jovi as a band. Don't agree with everything that they've done. Not a fan of everything they've done, but the documentary they had last year was really well done. And I remember liking them and listening to them at a time when people said, you still listen to Bon Jovi? Are you serious? Hell yeah. Good music is good music. And now look at it. Now you can listen to hair metal bands and not feel bad about it. In fact, we've got one of the classic bands of that era coming to New Bedford this Saturday. L.A. Guns is going to be at the Vault. If you're going, I'll see you over there. All Sinners opening up. Maybe I'll play some All Sinners later on. They just released their Unplugged record. You can get that over at Purchase Street Records. You can also stream it on streaming services. So just type in All Sinners, and then the new album is We Are the Unplugged. And the musicianship in that band is incredible. Obviously, if you're a rock fan and you've heard the original versions of those songs, you're like, yeah, these guys are great. But you really hear the complexities of the music when they're playing it unplugged. And you can go see them Saturday night. All Sinners and LA Guns at the Vault. I think there's still some tickets left. The VIPs have all sold out. You know, they get you early access, but I think you can still get some general admission tickets last I had checked. They get a lot of good shows over there. They have Max Sabbath coming up. Are you familiar with Max Sabbath? Max Sabbath is the world's only McDonald's theme Black Sabbath cover band. That sounds like a show you got to be at. And a fun fact you might not know, you know, the Cardigans, you know, Love Fool. They also had a couple of other good songs like My Favorite Game, but people mostly remember them for Love Fool. They started off as a Black Sabbath cover band with, you know, Nina singing those songs. And so they always, on all their albums, they would put one Black Sabbath cover on the album. I've played their version of Iron Man before. They do it like very slow and moody. But they didn't dress up as McDonald's characters, so not quite the same. 508-996-0500. So I was asking earlier if anybody had attended the meeting last night, the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods meeting. Frank Mulligan has a write-up at southcoasttoday.com, and basically it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. A lot of folks saying we need more of a police presence downtown, that there's too many folks loitering, you know, whether it be people coming from the bus station, whether it be homeless folks, whatever it may be, there's too many people kind of hanging around and causing problems. One of the business owners said, or maybe it was one of the local clergy, I don't know. I used my free view for the month already looking at the story. But they basically said that they caught them on camera, like doing drugs and urinating in the street. And what can you do? You can't ban people from being downtown. You can't tell them they can't be on a public space. but having more of a police presence would deter them from doing these kind of things. You're a lot less likely to just pee where you're standing on the street if you know there's a chance a police officer might be coming around the corner. You'd also be less likely to pee on the street if they had some kind of public restrooms down there, but they don't. I remember having this argument with Mayor Mitchell when I used to have him on when I was on from 9 to noon, and he would come in on Wednesdays on my program. And not that it was an argument, but we got into a discussion about, couldn't you have a public restroom downtown and staff it with someone? Couldn't that be somebody's job? And wouldn't that be more effective than having to constantly go down and clean when somebody defecates or urinates in the street? You could have somebody there. You don't have to hire a full-time person and give them benefits. You could do it with a couple of part-timers. Have it be open from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. Two shifts. What's it going to cost you? $40,000 a year at most? I bet you if you propose to the downtown businesses that they could all chip into that, they probably would. I think a lot of them would rather see some parking issues fixed first, but it's just, there are things that can be done, but you have to address the fact that there's a problem first. Public restrooms would be helpful. More police would be helpful. I don't know necessarily that the police substation returning there would be the answer either. It needs to be active police officers walking around, but they need personnel to be able to do that, and they don't have that. They don't have enough right now. I don't know. Is a neighborhood watch style citizen patrol a good idea? Remember the real superhero movement? That used to be a thing. People that would dress up as superheroes, they would make their own costumes and create their own identities, and they'd go and patrol around downtown at night. New Bedford had real-life superheroes. They had people that walked around patrolling downtown, and if they saw a crime happening, they would alert the police. But they felt like just their walking around and patrolling would deter crime. Probably because criminals were too busy laughing at them as they were walking by, but these were good people. I had them on Spooky South Coast and interviewed them. They were good people, good civic-minded people, including one called Civitron. I don't know how much it helped, but it was something. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
Pink, it's my new obsession.
And welcome back in. I like to tell you about all the great tasting events they have coming up at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And they've got a couple of great events coming up this weekend. So on Friday from 5 to 7, they're going to be having a special sampling of some Japanese whiskeys. And I had a chance to try some of this the last time I was over there. Really, really good stuff. So they're going to be trying some Japanese whiskeys from 5 to 7 on Friday, April 26th. And then on Saturday, they're going to have some different whiskeys for you to try, including Further Whiskey, which is named after, you know, Ken Kesey's bus, the guy who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and the Merry Pranksters there. They had this bus, Further. It's a 1939 school bus, and a portion of all the sales of Further go to help restore that bus. They'll also be trying Clack Pepin, I don't know what that is, and Kohobe, which is a French whiskey that I have a bottle of at home that's very good. So that'll be happening Saturday from 2 to 4. So Friday, 5 to 7, Japanese whiskeys. Saturday, 2 to 4, Further and French whiskey, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can always try before you buy anything that has a Purple Dot next to it, and where you can join the Rack House Club and get a monthly bag with a whiskey in it worth at least $50, and also 10% off all your whiskey and bourbon purchases anytime at Stevie's. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All
right. When I used to work downtown years ago, they used to have a restroom across the street in the City Hall on the side. And, everybody ruined it. I mean, it was just a mess over there. I never went over there to go to the bathroom. But, I mean, you could just see everybody just sitting on the lawn out there. And they had some little older man that used to clean it. I forgot his name. He used to hang around downtown. He was always downtown. Anyway, they used to have one there, but I don't know how many stalls they had in there or if they had any stalls. But I know they had the restaurants. I mean, the restroom there on the side of the City Hall.
I mean, obviously, these days, if you had a public restroom, you need an attendant there to keep an eye on things and to keep it clean and make sure nobody's, you know, doing drugs in it and all that stuff. But
well, that's the thing. I know there were a lot of them drinking over there and all that stuff. Because it was right across from the liquor store around that area. And, I don't know if you don't remember that. That was years ago. But I don't know how long. But I know they used to come in the Star Store and use the restrooms in there. And they had security go in there and throw them all out of there a lot of times during the day. Because I worked at the deli there, and it was right around the corner. You see security bang on the door, said, okay, all you out. He'd watch them all out of there.
And now they use the library bathroom.
Oh, no kidding. That's a shame. You know, when you really hate to turn them away, but I mean, a lot of places don't let you use the bathrooms anymore.
Right.
But they do have one in TJ Maxx and different places like that. But I know a lot of bathrooms, a lot of places don't have the bathrooms anymore, except for like the restaurants, like Papa Gino's used to and things like that. But now there's still one in Fairhaven. But anyway, that Japanese whiskey sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. Very, very clean and crisp. No, it wasn't too strong.
No?
No, it's very smooth. And I've only tried one brand, but I liked what I tried, so maybe I'm gonna have to go try some other ones.
What was the name of that one?
I don't remember the name of it.
Was it in Japanese?
Yeah, I can barely remember the American ones that I've tried. So I just walk in and look at the labels and say, "Yep, tried that." So
there you go.
All right. You have a good
day.
See
you later. You too. Bye.
All right, callers, hang on. Let me get this final break of the hour in, and then we'll try to wrap up with your calls for this hour. Coming up the next hour, we'll be joined by Sydney Snow of Six Flags to talk about their new roller coaster, and then, of course, we'll take more calls from you after that. But let me just take this quick break. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. All right, welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Billy Fassioles.
How you doing?
Good, but I'm not going to have enough time to explain. I was calling in about all the mayor. I couldn't get on yesterday. I waited for 42 minutes, and they ran out of time because everybody was calling in. I'll call after the.
Well, I don't want you to call back later just to complain about how long you were on hold for.
No. Forget about that. No, okay. The mayor said something yesterday that I think put the police officers in jeopardy.
All right. We can definitely talk about that for sure.
Okay, that's what I want to call. I'll call after 8:30 or?
Yeah, probably after the 8:30 news.
Okay, because I want to explain how he put that. He didn't explain to the people exactly when he said that you got a right to stand there and call your lawyer and all that stuff. So I'll call back.
All right, we'll talk to you then. And let me see if I can squeeze in this quick call here in the final minute I have. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I was just listening to your comments about downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's the people that hang around in front of City Hall. Not in front, but on the Purchase Street side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all congregating. Well, this past Thursday, at our church, we had what was called the Stations, not the Station of the Cross, but the visiting of seven churches, the pathway that Jesus took to the cross.
Sorry, I don't.